He is Howard Beck. Howard, what's going on? How are you?
Doing well, Romy. How are you?
Good, good. Howard, appreciate you. Let me start with saying that that was about as weird a series as you're ever going to see. But what do you make of Boston, Howard, coming all the way back from that 3-0 deficit to force a game seven in their own home, only to get blown out the way they were?
It's funny because if you'd asked me to assess, you know, certain aspects of the NBA postseason and just the strangeness of it all and everything, just this kind of chaotic postseason, I would have said, you know, Jim, I think the Miami Heat might be the most confusing team I've ever seen because they underachieve in the regular season. They nearly get knocked out in the play-in. They become an eighth seed. They upset the Bucks. They were very confusing, and they remain confusing, but also, frankly, just awesome. The Heat are just super impressive. But they've now, by knocking out the Celtics are now the team that, like, it's completely most confounding to me at this stage because the Celtics, and granted, listen, Jason Tatum hurt his ankle on the first play of the game last night. I get it. But that the Celtics, they were playing with fire this entire postseason. They arguably should have lost in game six to the Sixers if not for a late Tatum explosion after he'd had of a dud of a game up until that point. They save themselves. They win game seven. All credit to them. But the Celtics, you know, on paper, we know what it's worth. But everybody in the league, Jim, had the same view of the Celtics going into these playoffs, even when the Bucks were still alive, which was the Celtics had the best top-to-bottom talent, the best depth, and they were at worst co-favorites to come out of the East with the Bucks. And they're not. They're not doing that. It's hard to say exactly, you know, where the flaws lie, right? Is this about coaching and everybody's going to point to Joe Mazzulla, and I get that there's some fairness to that. Is it about their two stars simply not being able to deliver the same level of consistency that you need of players at that caliber? Do you want to just chalk it up to Tatum getting hurt? But, you know, the fact is, this is a team with a lot more high-level talent than the team they just lost to. And because of that, it's fair to say this is a colossal disappointment that they underachieved on some level. Even if you're going to Game 7 of the Conference Finals, more was expected. And I'm very curious to see how they handle this offseason.
Well said. I'm going to follow you up on that in a minute, but I agree with everything you just said. Howard Beck is my guest. I mean, yeah, ideally, you don't want your star to roll his ankle in the opening minute of the game, but in fairness, Miami has been without Tyler Hero. Miami's been without Victor Oladipo. They found a way to get it done, and they don't have that kind of talent. They don't have the depth or the talent that Boston has necessarily, and they found a way to get it done. Howard, to your point, so now what? Like, if they knew what to do, they would have never allowed it to happen. But where do they go going forward? Do you run it back? Do you stay the course? Or is there something inherently broken? And what changes do have to be made?
If you look over the last, I don't know, whatever, 5 years, you know, they've been, you know, in some respects, the most consistent great team in the East, right? No championship, but the number of times they've been to the conference finals with this Tatum-Brown core, or Tatum Brown Smart Horford, however you want to define it, we know they're capable of great things. They have shown it in not only the regular season, but in a lot of postseason success, just not the ultimate postseason success. So this is where cooler heads have to prevail, right? And, you know, Brad Stevens is about as even keeled as you're going to find in a front office executive. I think this is one of those cases where you take a deep breath, you wait a couple of weeks, and you assess, but, you know, I do think it's hard to decide which way to fall on this, right? You either look at the sum total of the last several years and say, you know what, we're a great team that is a break or two away from winning that championship, and maybe just needs a little bit of massaging here and there. We shouldn't do anything dramatic because we have a proven record of this team achieving at a very high level. The flip side of that would be if you keep ramming your head into the wall, eventually you just have a headache and maybe it's time to try something different. I could see that. I don't think, you know, anything short of, you know, like last summer where it was Kevin Durant on the table. So you're considering trading Jaylen Brown and breaking them up because it was going to get you Kevin Durant. Okay, fine. But I don't think you're trading Jaylen Brown just for the sake of making change and breaking up this core. And I don't know how seriously they'll even take that. I think, you know, it's just due diligence. You have to at least explore what's out there. You always do. And, you know, they do have contract issues coming up too, right? Jaylen Brown's eligible for the Supermax by virtue of that All-NBA selection. they are going to have payroll issues and tax issues and all kinds of stuff coming down the pike, and they have to consider all that too.
So, Howard, what about that? Like, Jaylen Brown just played the worst game ever on the biggest stage ever. So can you afford to pay him that super max, or can you afford not to pay him that super fat max? I mean, how good would you feel about offering him the super max after what we saw last night?
I'd be gritting my teeth a bit, but, you know, he won't be the first player where it's like, man, he's on the cusp of it. Yeah, he qualifies. Yeah, he's one of our most important players. But, boy, I don't know if this is the right move for all the other reasons, right? Because it would put you in a real bind in terms of your ability to keep building on top of that. I also think you cannot just – you obviously aren't letting him walk. You're not letting him get to free agency down the road and walk. You want to do right by him too. So there's all these other things that come into play, right? It's your messaging to him. It's your messaging to his agent. It's your messaging to other stars out there about whether you take care of your best players. There's a lot of other stuff that goes into it that's more than just about a simple, like, accounting thing of, does this salary equal the right amount of production and clutch play? So I think if they conclude that, you know what, we don't want to give him the supermax, but we don't think that that's the smartest move for us for the next 5 years, then that's when you start to entertain possible trades, or you put it off. You don't do the extension, but that can have consequences in terms of your relationship with the player. It's a tough situation. I don't have the answer on that one. Brad Stevens has ownership there, everybody else have a difficult decision to make.
We are talking to Howard Beck. All right, Howard, what about Miami? Like, we know what we're going to get from playoff Jimmy. He showed up huge again last night. What about everybody else? Like, Caleb Martin is the latest example of Miami maximizing the output of a guy that few other teams wanted after he was undrafted coming out of Nevada. How do they do this? How do they find all these guys, absorb them into a culture? And it's one thing to get them to buy into a culture, but to produce at the level that they are when nobody else really saw very much in them. How do they do this consistently?
It really is incredible, isn't it? And, you know, we talk about heat culture, we mock heat culture, we get tired of hearing the phrase heat culture, but, like, you know, get used to it, folks. It's going to be drilled into us for the next couple of weeks, and they've earned it. They've earned it because of where they are, because they've done this again with, you know, again, the team that on paper shouldn't be here, that shouldn't have knocked off the Bucks, that shouldn't have knocked off the Celtics. And now we're all going to underestimate them. I think the early odds have come out and the Nuggets are heavy favorites, and so we're going to underestimate them again, and they're going to play the disrespect card again. I've already referred to this as, like, the disrespect Olympics, because the Nuggets feel shorted in attention, and now the Heat are the team that are meeting them there. And I think the Heat are going to win the disrespect Olympics, because they will be the more disrespected by not being favored in this series. But the Nuggets will probably be the ones winning the championship. There is something to the culture thing, Jim. Like, there is something to, you come here and there are expectations. Whatever you've done previously, we don't really care. We see an outline of a player in you, whether it's Caleb Martin, whether it's Max Strus, whether it's Gabe Vincent. And I think they're identifying guys who they know have a certain kind of toughness to them and who are willing to sacrifice and are willing to play a role and are willing to just play their butts off and play in a system. And Spoelstra is the one who sets the tone. Udonis Haslem, to some extent, sets that tone as quasi-assistant coach / player for life. Pat Riley, obviously, it comes from the top. And so once you've established that, if you never stray from it, if you don't bend your rules for anyone, and we've seen this, right? Like, some guys have gone there, they've tried, they've gotten the best out of them that they could, and then it's, you know, see you later. And we've seen various versions of that over the years too. They haven't hit on all of the guys they've gotten, but they do expect a certain level of commitment and discipline, and all the way down to, like, the body fat percentages, all that stuff. And I don't think it's so much as, you know, developing guys, although there's a part of it. I also think it's just they've identified something in these guys that fits what they do, and that those guys are willing to be part of it.
Well said. Howard Beck is joining us. So, Howard, since I have you, before you go, maybe a couple of other quick hitters. Bob Myers, according to Woj, is not going to return to Golden State. I don't think that's an enormous surprise to you. However, what do you think his decision came down to, and what do you think he's going to do now?
Everything I heard up until this point was that if Bob walked away, it was going to be because he just needs a break. He's got three young kids. He's very much a family man, and he has, you know, that Warriors job, while there's been a lot of glory to go with it, and they've won all these championships, and it's been amazing, and they've got one of the greatest franchise players that you could ever want to work with, right? Like, Steph Curry is a breeze compared to some other superstars who have ruled the league for the last, you know, 20, 30 years. So there are aspects of it that make it easier maybe than the average GM job, but there's also aspects of it where the expectations, the pressure, the time commitment, and yeah, they've had a fair amount of drama, right? You know, Draymond and Jordan Poole, the punch last October. I just think that the cumulative impact over the last 10 years or whatever, impact's probably the wrong word. I just think that at a certain point you can get a little tired. He's like Bob Myers has accomplished everything you could want to accomplish. It doesn't mean that he doesn't have the drive to do more, but to have the opportunity, and obviously has the ability based on his finances to step back and say, you know what, I'm going to take some time for me and my family while my kids are still young. I can always come back and run a team at another stage. Like that's a fantastic luxury that he has. And like I say, everything that I've heard, nothing to do with the organization, with ownership, with players, with anything other than he wants to take a break. And I believe he's speaking to the media in another couple hours here. So we'll hear straight from him what the thought process was.
Makes sense. All right, one last question for you. Why do you think that Nick Nurse, who had his choice, why did he choose the 76ers over the Suns or maybe even the Bucks?
Great question. I don't have any specific intel on that at this stage, Jim. But look, he does have a history with Daryl Morey. Nick Nurse coached the Rio Grande Valley Vipers, the G League affiliate of the Rockets, back when Daryl was running the Rockets. So there is, I'm sure, a comfort level there. You know, you're looking, if you're a head coach at his level, who's won a championship and who's regarded as one of the best tacticians in the league, I assume you're trying to plug into a place where you see some stability and a player or core of players that you can have some confidence in having a long run with. The Suns, like, I don't know how long that's going to last. You know, Kevin Durant, the miles he's got on him, the number of games he's missed over the last few years. Like, I think the Suns are a little bit more volatile. I think the Bucks, frankly, are kind of low-key we're not quite to an inflection point, Jim, but the supporting cast has gotten a little older, and they've got contract decisions to make to bring back Brook Lopez and Chris Middleton. I think there are people who are looking at the Bucks in particular as a team that you don't know where they're going to be in another couple of years. And it's too soon to start speculating about Giannis's future, but it also isn't. And people around the league are already kind of keeping an eye on it because that's what they do. I think the Sixers have their own volatility, you know, all the noise about James Harden potentially looking to go back to Houston, but assuming Harden stays and Embiid is the reigning MVP and you know, they're going to spend, and you know, Daryl Morey's going to go all out every single offseason and during the season to keep improving the roster. I think it's probably just comfort level.
Howard Beck, getting it done, covering all sorts of ground, an NBA contributor to GQ Magazine, NBA insider for the Locked On Podcast Network, and so much more. Once again, game one of the finals is on Thursday night. Howard, great, great job. Appreciate you. And always good to have you on. Howard, thanks so much.
Always a pleasure, Romy. Thank you.